From Galatians, 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the Word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. I don't know why I called this series of sermons the fruits of the Spirit. And I was sort of rebuked by a preacher on the radio one day this week who said this is not fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit. And I like the picture he painted. He said it's like a cluster of fruit growing on one tree. But it's one fruit with many different aspects. I sort of like that. And I come tonight to talk about the fruit of the Spirit is joy. It was on Friday, the third day of June. I tried to lay down after lunch to get a nap and I could not go to sleep. And I got to thinking about the joy of the Lord. And there in the midst of one of the most difficult times in my life, God gave me a message. And I got up and I think it's the quickest and easiest I ever prepared a sermon to try to preach. And I want us tonight to think about joy as the fruit of the Spirit. And first to do this, we need to know what we're talking about. And I'd like for us to consider some things that we might sometimes confuse with joy or think are synonymous with joy. But this is far from the truth. Joy as the fruit of the Spirit is not happiness. The word happen just tells you that it depends on happenstance. It depends on what's happening. Joy is not dependent on circumstance. Jesus said, your joy no one takes from you. And that's not true of happiness. You can be tremendously happy one minute and tremendously unhappy the next minute. Now, I know very few of you are football fans, but if you think about being at a football game and your team is behind by 4 points, less than a minute to go, and the goal line is down there 70 yards away, but a play is called and your team's wide receiver gets free and the quarterback hits him right in his hands and he runs as fast as he can and crosses the goal line, and you're jumping up and down and screaming and hollering. You're so happy you don't know what to do. You've won the game. But not quite. You see, there's still 7 seconds left on the clock. And so your team kicks off. And one of their return men takes the ball deep in his own end zone and starts downfield. He dodges one tackler, almost stopped by some others, but reverses his field. Keeps going, gets to about the 50-yard line. The clock runs out, but that doesn't matter. The play is still active. And then with a lot of speed and luck, he scores. And you were so happy just a couple of minutes ago. And now you're so downcast and depressed and mad and angry and sad. All that quick it happens. The world can give you happiness. But the world can take it away. The world cannot give you joy. And the world cannot take it away. And joy and pleasure is not the same thing. Miss Lucy Bentley invited me to their home on Thursday night, the second day of June, for supper. I call it supper. And after supper, Dr. Bob and I went over to Madison to the annual conference memorial service. And it was a meaningful time. I got to see some of my preacher friends I hadn't seen in a year. And remember those that had gone on to glory. A lot of pleasant thoughts and pleasant memories. And on the way home, I was trying to tell Dr. Bob all that he and Lucy had done for me, how much it had meant, and had a very pleasant and pleasurable evening. And I got out of the car, in a moment of carelessness, I closed the door on this little finger. And all of my pleasure was gone. I was bleeding, and I was hurting. All the pleasure was gone. Just that quick. Pleasure is not Christian joy, nor is it the satisfaction of our appetites, whatever your appetites are. Your appetite for things, your appetite for sex, your appetite for food, whatever your appetites are, it's not that satisfaction that comes to satisfy those appetites. It's not the same as joy. You know, when I finished my meal there at the Bentley's home that evening, I was satisfied. My appetite was completely satisfied. I didn't want another bite. But you know, about 14 hours later, I wasn't satisfied anymore. And I had to eat again. It's not joy. The world does not give us Christian joy. It cannot take it away. You see, Christian joy is the fruit of the Spirit of God dwelling in and working within you. And I want to see this tonight in three areas, if I can. There is first the joy that we have when we come to know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. God is our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit is our indwelling, empowering presence of God. The joy that comes when we know Jesus as our Savior, God is our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit is our abiding companion. I've said this before, but my earliest memory of life is being in Sunday school. And a few weeks ago, I don't know exactly, 4 or 5 weeks ago, a longtime friend of mine called. He's a retired Methodist preacher in our conference. But I first met him in Korea. He was a missionary with the Oriental Missionary Society. We became friends there, and when he came back to North Alabama, we remained friends across the years. I don't really know why he called. He told me who he was, and he said, "I just wonder how you're doing." Well, when you ask somebody how you're doing, "I'm doing fine. I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing so good, you know, if I couldn't stand it if I did any better." That's what we expected. He asked me, "How you doing?" And I said, "I'm doing just about as bad as I've ever done in my whole life." And he started to answer, and then he remembered what I'd said. You know, he heard what I said. He wondered what was wrong. And I shared with him some of my pain at that time. But as we talked, he asked me when I was saved. He said, "You were a Christian when I knew you in Korea. When were you saved?" And I told him, "There's never been a time in my life when I did not know that Jesus loved me." And I said, "If you really want to know, if you've got to have a date and a time when I was saved, you have to go back to about A.D. 30, when outside the city walls of Jerusalem, on a hill called Calvary, Jesus gave His life for me. That's when all of us were saved." Now, we might have to go a little further and appropriate that salvation for ourselves. And early in my life, I came to accept for myself that Jesus died for me and I wanted to live for Him. I became to believe that He gave His life for me. And He prayed for me when He prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." To know that God so loved me that He gave His one and only Son that I might have life gives me joy unspeakable and full of glory. When we accept for ourselves what God has already done for us, the free gift of God, it's eternal life in Jesus Christ. But you have to accept the gift. When we come to accept for ourselves what God has already done for us at Calvary, there's a joy that will always be there. And nothing or no one can take it away. Thanks be to God. Another source of unending joy for me is to know that we are God's child and He loves each of us and He will always be with us and for us. Quite a few years ago now, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 years ago, one of my nephew's wife, nurse, lovely young lady, they hadn't been married but just a few years, she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And they operated in Birmingham and told the family that They didn't know how it would go, but they were not able to remove all of the tumor, and it would almost surely come back. But after a few days, they went home, and she had several months of a somewhat normal life, and then things got so bad she had to have surgery again, and that time there was nothing to have any hope about. She was in the hospital for several days, and then one day she was pronounced dead. I got a phone call saying that she had died. Being a nurse, she had signed a donor card, and they were to take her organs, and they came in to prepare her to keep the organs vital as they could. I don't really know exactly what they did, but when they were working with her, she came back alive. For 30 days, she lay in that hospital bed, never opened her eyes, never spoke a word, never acknowledged anybody's presence. 30 days. I was there one afternoon visiting with my nephew. And I looked at him and I confessed that I did not know and I could not understand why such things as that happened. I told him I was only sure of two things. One, that God loved both of them. And two, that God was with them. And as I have gone through my own dark valley in the last few weeks, and sometimes found myself totally lost, I found it to be even more true than I ever experienced. Sometimes in the middle of the night, unable to sleep, not knowing how to pray or what to pray for, I've cried out to God. And always, He's brought me His peace that passeth all understanding. And His joy that no one can take from me. Through my brokenness, I have found that the joy of the Lord is still there. And truly, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The final source of eternal joy for me is to know that Jesus is preparing a home for me, that where He is, we might be also. Over the last several months, Wendell every day was wanting to go home. I don't think I'm exaggerating to say that some days she must have asked me 100 times if we were going home or when we were going home. If we were here at church, she wanted to go home. If we were in the Sunday school class, she wanted to go home. If we were visiting your home, she wanted to go to her home. If we were sitting there in our den, her in this chair and me in that, she wanted to know when we were going home. One night, after we went to bed, I'd read the Bible and had read the upper room, and we'd prayed together. But by that time, she was not praying much. For an hour and a half, in as many different ways as you can imagine it being said, she wanted to know when we were going home. She'd reached that stage in her life where she had no home down here. What a joy to know that when this life is over, we get to go to our eternal home prepared for us by our Savior. Surely there's joy in the assurance of the words of Paul when he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In the words of Jesus to the thief that was on the cross crucified beside him when he said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. It gives me joy to know that we'll not have to wait for our home to be available. It's already prepared. It's already ready. Another thing that gives me joy is to think that Wendell is with the Lord, and the Lord is with me, and so she's not far away. Still loving me. Still praying for me. I want to close tonight with a quote from William Barclay. He wrote, there is a certain indestructibility in Christian joy. I like that. An indestructibility in Christian joy. And it is so because Christian joy is in the Lord. Its basis is that the Christian lives forever in the presence and the company of Jesus Christ. He can lose all things. He can lose all people. But he can never lose Christ. Praise be to God. And therefore, even in circumstances where joy would seem impossible, even in conditions which there seem to be nothing but pain and discomfort, the Christian joy remains. Mama, he said, the Christian joy remains because not all of the threats and terrors and discomforts of life can separate the Christian from the love of God in Christ Jesus, his Lord. Hallelujah and amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in the midst of all of our pain and sorrow and difficulties in life, you're with us, you're for us, and your joy is our strength. Praise be to God. Help us to live a life that shows forth your praise and your joy to others. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray.